Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Pacific Current Group conference call. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Paul Greenwood, CEO and Managing Director. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and thanks for joining us. I apologize for the short notice on the telephone number being distributed. I'd like to touch on two topics today. The first is the announcement of our investment in a firm called Pennybacker Capital, and then the second is I'll touch on a market update that we provided today as well. So I'll start with Pennybacker first. On Friday, we signed an investment in Pennybacker. Pennybacker is an Austin, Texas-based private equity real estate firm. It's been around for about 13 years and manages about $1.9 billion U.S. It has several strategies. It has a value strategy, something called income and growth, and then sort of a growing credit platform as well. Pennybacker invests in and operates mid-market multifamily office and retail assets in 11 U.S. markets that it refers to as dynamic growth markets. Their whole strategy is sort of focused on not tier one cities, but tier two cities that are growing rapidly. The firm has had exceptional performance across its entire platform, and has grown very rapidly. In fact, they just closed Value Add Fund 5, which was a U.S. $725 million fund. Just closed that, had one close, and completed the entire fundraise in one close. One of the things that we like about Pennybacker is it is not only is it, we're big fans of the leadership and the company culture there, but we're also they're also at the leading edge of applying advanced technology to private real estate investing, and it's talk is sort of cheap, but a demo of the platform really sort of appears to give a good glimpse into the future of what private real estate investing could look like. PAX investment is going to be 16.5% of the business for $20 million. There's some contingent earnout oriented obligations that if they achieve certain milestones that we would pay as well. And aside from that, we'll have a seat on the executive committee and sort of standard minority rights and protections that we would seek in all our deals. So we're thrilled with this firm. It has, I think, just exceptional growth potential and couldn't be happier about sort of the quality of the people we're partnering with. And that's the announcement on Pennybacker. And then we also simultaneously today provided a market update. And on the market update front, you'll notice that we provided an estimate of where we think net profit after tax could come in FY20. We are suggesting that number is between 24 and 25 million in this fiscal year. It's worth noting that this number assumes flat markets, consistent performance, no changes in currencies, and essentially no increase in assets under management at any of the firms. And then the notice also notes that in this fiscal year, we expect a material reduction in contributions from Sizer Capital. Sizer Capital is, I think many know, has lost some of their funds under management, and given our structure, our particular investment in Sizer, we sort of bear the full brunt of that downside. We have been working and continue to work with Sizer to find ways to, not only improve the profitability of the investment for us, but ultimately, hopefully try to turn it around and post some nice growth. I believe that last I looked, performance was actually pretty strong this year. And then looking ahead to FY21, it's obviously a little difficult to predict, but on the annualization of the new investments we've made combined with the organic growth in our Tier 1 holdings, we're actually quite optimistic that we should post another solid year of growth. It is worth noting that I believe you can't predict it with 100% certainty, but I believe all five of those Tier 1 holdings should post growth throughout this calendar year. And then I think the other thing I noted, just because as people who are aware of PAC, we always have some challenges with regard to some of the seasonality and earnings and that sort of thing. And so what I tried to give a little more glimpse into that with discussing that we expect a significant contribution of earnings from Victory Park in this half year we are now. And a notably lower contribution from them in the second half. Interestingly, and sort of coincidentally, GQG contributes in sort of exactly the opposite way, where given the nature of their structure, they contribute far less to us in this first half of our fiscal year and far more in the second half of the fiscal year. On balance, we believe the second half should be greater than the first half, just because of some of the new investments and what have you, but it shouldn't be particularly dramatic. And then I think the last point I mentioned, and once again, this is sort of a bit of a broken record, but we have been diligently trying to diversify the PAC portfolio across a variety of different asset classes in order to enhance the resiliency of the revenue stream. And as we look forward with the seeds that have been planted now, we would guess, our best guess is probably 75% of our revenues going into FY21 will not have any direct link to equity markets. In other words, they're not in public equities and not marked to market daily. Which once again is consistent with our objectives to try to increase visibility of revenue and resiliency of it as well. With that, I will stop and I'll open it up to any questions people have.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you're using a speakerphone, please pick up the handset before asking your question. I will now pause momentarily to allow questioners to enter the queue. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1. The first question comes from Nick McGargley with Ord Minnett. Please go ahead.
It's not my alter ego, McGargley. It's Nick McGarrigle here. just a quick question, I guess, around the earnings guidance. Can you give us a sense on if Pfizer is still profitable, what the cost-out measures are, what the reduction in FUM has been since September? Because I guess on the US dollar FUM we saw at September, the decline wasn't that material. So just trying to get a sense on...
I think their FUM hasn't deteriorated that much since September. I think when we saw the financial results come through after the September quarter was when we were because of the way managers bill and sort of the lag in that is that's when we saw the sort of notable decline in the contributions that we expect from Pfizer. And but you know, basically, I think they've been stable this quarter. And not to, I'm sure you have another question, Nick, but I also wanted to mention something that's just that I forgot to mention, but I think people are aware we have one of the things we have done is we have a sales team, and the sales team has raised a lot of capital for various investment managers that we are partnered with. And when we raise that capital, those commissions that we receive are typically structured as sort of 3-year payments to us, with each year sort of a declining payment. And one of the things I think, or that we're also expecting in FY20, is a decrease in commission revenues because, frankly, because a lot of those initial GQG commissions are starting to roll off. So I apologize for not mentioning that earlier in the call. Anyways, well,
a commensurate reduction in your overhead cost rates to align with those GQG commission reductions?
There's a little bit. So the way to think of it is sort of a fairly accurate rule of thumb is about half of those commission revenues we receive go out the door to pay our salespeople. And but so we would feel the brunt of or from an earnings perspective, we'd sort of feel the brunt of half of that half of that decline really. I also think, and I haven't mentioned this, but I also think we're going to see those commissions probably approaching a low point, or this quarter or next quarter. And I think with some of the business that we expect on the horizon, I would expect that, a year from now, the commission levels are higher again.
And can you just talk about the acquisition, I guess, just how that's going to be funded, given the some of the
sure.
considerations that you've got coming up in the next couple of years? And then I guess just a bit of we've talked about the update on the earnings side, but maybe just chat about the actual acquisition.
Sure. We have cash on hand to fund this investment. I don't think it's hard to tell. I would guess 3 or 4 weeks away. It's subject to receiving client consent, and that process takes different times at different companies. So if it were closed today, we would just pay with cash on hand. I think one of the things we are pursuing is a modest debt facility. Because if we do pay for that with cash, we're going to be, our cash reserves will be very low. So, I think we're going to probably pay for some of that with some level of debt.
And then maybe just about the acquisition.
And the acquisition, like I said, it's hard to do it justice to describe a company here that undoubtedly no one's met. but this is a manager who's produced top quartile results, has a list of premier clients, and has sort of a level of transparency in what they do and with their process, and as well as the application of, like I said, incredibly sophisticated technology that really just differentiates them from almost everyone else. In fact, everyone else we've seen in the private real estate space, and it is a place we've looked to a fair amount. I should note too that it's an important concept and idea. Is that you will note that our investment here is a bottom line investment. We have minimal participation in future carried interest, so that will not be provide any significant upside for us in the next few years. So the point of that is we're trying to get our economics from them. In a way that's not subject to the performance of real estate. And, you know, in the U.S., probably like many countries, you can make a decent argument that the real estate cycle is well advanced. And I wouldn't disagree with that. What I would argue here is that because there, that doesn't really, you know, if the market sold off, that wouldn't really impact our economics because we're at the bottom line. And it's bottom line is really a function of, you know, management fees, primarily management fees, that we should be, you know, relatively protected from that sort of environment. What we would need for them, you know, what we need for them and all these private capital strategies is we need them to grow over the long term. And I expect that not only will they grow over the long term, but you'll see solid growth in 2020 from Penny Becker.
All right, cool. Yeah, I'm sure we'll get a bit more opportunity to chat with them at some point.
Sure.
In terms of the, just back to the guidance, Victory Park, I think, contributed $1.7 million Aussie dollars in FY19. In the sort of guidance that you've given, what's this inherent contribution from Victory Park in FY20?
Yeah, I mean, FY20, it will be notably higher than that. It will be meaningfully loaded in this half of the year. You know, what we're getting this year that we didn't get last year is we're getting won't be crystallized till December 31st, but we're getting the incentive fees coming from the UK listed vehicle that will come through and hit the bottom line. So that will be first half loaded. The second half will be, I suspect will be lighter just because of, for some of the reasons we've discussed in terms of earnings recognition, but it's, notable improvement over last year.
Okay. And then, if I was to sort of, I mean, looking at my numbers, they're a couple of $1 million higher at the NPAT line versus what you've guided to size it, adjusting to size it. I'm guessing that there's the delta there, the overhead, we're sort of expecting a marginal change in net overhead year on year. Is that an area that, given those commission declines, is the net overhead expected to be quite a bit bigger in 20 versus 19?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Nick. I had a hard time hearing some of that question. Hello?
The question was more around the net overhead. Oh. So just wondering if there's a material uplift in net overhead given those commission declines in FY19.
Yeah, there's no material change in cost at PAC at all. I would expect, it's just that was as those revenues decline, the net profitability of the, management company looks worse because of those revenues that are, you know, called management company revenues declining. But there's zero sort of change in net dollar cost at the management company level.
All right, I might leave it there. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question comes from Richard Wolf with Ord Minnett. Please go ahead.
Richard Wolf here. Could you give us some insight into the size it costs and the possibility of those coming down? Thank you.
Yeah, it's a great question, Richard. And that is a business that when we invested in that business a few years ago, there's agreed upon sort of rules about how regarding budgets and that sort of thing. Obviously, what's happened is the profits have diminished there, and so and management at Sizer Capital doesn't really have the sort of upside in the business we would like them to have. So what we are working with them on and discussion around is how do we sort of risk share more appropriately where they can management can get more of the upside but maybe in exchange for bringing down the cost structure of the business. So that's the nature of the dialogue. As you can imagine, those things can be a little sensitive, but that's where we're headed. One way or the other, we're going to do whatever we can to make that investment as profitable as possible for us.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press *1 on your telephone. There are no further questions at this time. I'll now hand back to Mr. Greenwood for closing remarks.
Thank you, and thanks all for joining us. And I'd like to apologize for the short notice. I would, I guess I'd say a couple things. One is, I know that NPAT guidance isn't as robust as it was what some expected. I apologize for that. What I can tell you is where I take some comfort is the fact that I think we have all our, at this point in time, it looks like all our tier one holdings are all moving in the right direction. And so as I look to FY21 and finishing the year, I feel like we're in great shape. I'd also note that, this is a very resilient revenue stream we're trying to build, and so hopefully we'll continue to make significant progress toward doing that. And I expect, given some of the things on our radar screen, we're going to have some opportunities to do some exciting things going into FY21. So with that, thank you for your time. Let me know, feel free to email me or give me a call if you have any questions. Thanks a lot.